Hello, and welcome to LifeLab. I'm David Ponder.
And I'm Zach Schaefer.
We created a candid podcast for busy people. We get right to the point of our topics, and we keep them to 30 minutes or less.
We wanted to put our ideas out there, share it with people we love, and if it spreads, great.
Our show has no edits and no gimmicks.
Like it or don't, we initially started this project for ourselves, to record our thoughts for our kids, but our friends and family thought we should share it, so here you go.
Hey, it's Dave and Zach coming at you again. Last week we talked about passion. This week we're talking about a different topic. We're talking about what defines who you are or experiment with becoming. So I'm going to kick it off right now, and I'm going to go ahead and just start with the question. Who are you? What defines who you are? And I'll start off with an idea or a thought that obituaries will list your name, your place of birth, death, your profession, your family members. But I think we can all agree that who you are is much more than that, right? We can derive meanings from those things, but it's really generalistic. So what is it that makes you who you are?
I like that because I hadn't thought about the idea of an obit, which is smart, because that summarizes not only who you were, but what you were with everyone. But when I hear that question, what defines who you are, I actually like to switch it and think about who defines who you are. Because I think for me personally, that has a much more profound impact on who I am as a person. And as we talked about before this show, Dave, while we were getting ready, I was critiquing the idea of introspection, right? And people looking within yourself to find out who you are and what you're about and all that stuff. Because I don't think most people do that, and right. Including ourselves at times. Yeah. Even though I think we do have more social training than most on that aspect, people do what's called social introspection. We introspect in a way that's socially acceptable. We look around for others to, here's what I think I am, who I am. What do you think about this?
Well, I think that if you think about it that way, go back to childhood and how you learn about yourself. The only way that we learn about ourselves is through others. It's an interesting thing. It's like other people are the mirror for ourselves to learn about who we are. We get our feedback constantly from other people that basically build our self-image. It's kind of an interesting thing.
Well, we can go down that rabbit hole. Yep. Is there a self-image, right? So this whole concept that we're talking about, is there a self, right? And we can get really philosophical and academic and wonky and douchey, if you will.
Right.
But the idea of becoming suggests right off the bat that there isn't a self, that there's selves, there's right. Social selves.
Right. Well, I think there's a bunch of different elements of a self-image, right? So we talk about self-esteem and ego and all of those things. But ultimately, I think that what you're saying is correct in that asking who you are ultimately means who are you to yourself and to others, right? You got to kind of put both of those in play. For a full definition, I feel. And your introspection piece is to yourself. Introspection is, what do I think I am, right?
I agree, but I guess my critique, which I didn't say well enough, was that I don't think most of us introspect in the philosophical sense, which is what you should be doing, looking inward for your own inward growth. We tend to introspect tied to the social phenomenon of, is this what is expected of me and what I should be doing? Am I living up to our family? Am I living up to what my family expects of
me? So the image you put out to the world, right? That's what you're saying. That's our introspection, is that what we care about, is the image that we put out to the world.
I'll call it social introspection.
Okay, sure. That makes sense. I mean, I would think if you were walking down the street and asking people, you know, what defines who you are, you know, like a Jay Leno segment where they're interviewing people. I mean, what most people would say, they'd probably say, you know, your job, the things that you have and own, you know, they'd include your family, tastes, music and movies that you like. These are the things that people would say make up who they are. So I guess the question is that valid or is that a part of who you are? Or is it deeper? Is there something deeper that we should be looking for?
Well, this just popped in my head and we have to say it, you know, Carl Sagan, we are the stuff of stars. We are star stuff. We are the stars.
Right.
So at the end of the day, if we want to go deep enough, we are nothing but energy that's connected to a larger reality. And if you believe in God, clearly there's a spiritual or a religious basis or foundation for those beliefs. And if you're not, there's a scientific one. But for me, it boils down to learning.
Yeah.
Right? But learning is great. Obviously, I have a PhD. I try to learn something new every day. But learning to me is nothing but frozen energy. It's just because I learned something new, it's now in my head and it's frozen. I view something new that I learned as a piece of ice in my brain, and it feels good as an ego. But until I unlock it and melt it and do something with that knowledge, it's just frozen energy. I haven't unlocked the energy. So for me, when I think of becoming, like who I am or what defines me, to this point in my life, I feel frozen, which is kind of weird to say because I'm very happy and I have a great family and I have so many opportunities and great jobs, but I still feel like I'm not achieving it yet.
Yeah.
Which isn't tied to money at all.
Right.
Well, which is bullshit. That's part of a lie. It is. I shouldn't say that because it is tied to that. And maybe that's the biggest part. I'm not sure, but I feel frozen, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Well, that's an interesting thing because something we haven't really touched on or talked about enough that I think is going to be a big piece of this is the journey. We the title of this is Becoming, right? Not became, not, and that's the interesting thing. You're always evolving. You're always seeking what it is, who you are. Who you are is always on the horizon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like you wake up someday and you're like, well, fuck, this is it. This is who I am.
True.
So.
Well, okay, so let's throw in some politics, right? Again, we're, if you haven't figured it out, we're from America, red, white, and blue, mm-hmm. and we are in the middle of the 2016 presidential election, which mm-hmm. is very interesting. But politics, we can go right to it. The idea of becoming, is that antithetical to a conservative perspective?
I think perspectives on politics are... I'll go back to the evolving thing because myself, I've looked at myself at different ages and I've had different political beliefs in different ages. I mean, wildly varying beliefs in different ages. A comment I'll make on the political scene that I think is humorous is this idea that you can't evolve your thought as a politician.
Right.
You become a flip-flopper.
Right.
It's ridiculous. But I mean, I think that it's healthy to always be seeking, always be learning. Like you said, like you gather a piece of knowledge, right? And it becomes frozen to you. I look at it like two things. Number one, a building block on which I can build more knowledge.
It's a piece of ice.
It's not that it's frozen or worthless.
A giant block of ice.
Well, I mean, that other ice wouldn't sit on top if I didn't have it. So, you know, my knowledge is growing in that way. And number two, it's a tool. It's something that I can use when I discuss it and get concepts out with friends and family members and loved ones because, and this will wrap back kind of full circle. I want to know what their perspective is on those types of things because it helps me fully form my perspective on that topic and myself because I need feedback from other people. Ultimately, I think feedback from other people is a key, like you said.
Well, absolutely. Going back to our opening question, experiment with becoming.
Mm-hmm.
What defines who you are, or as I would say, who defines who you are? Let's go with some big names that all of our audience members can think about. Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett, yeah.
What defines who you are? Well, we can all define it for him. He is the greatest investor of all time. He is a left-leaning politically person, right? So he could be a good person. At the end of the day, anyone that doesn't know Warren Buffett, I personally assume is going to go, he is a financial investor, yeah. right? He's an investor. Right. He buys businesses. Well, or we can go Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg.
This is interesting because what we talked about last week was this character that you build, right? And it's amazing how even the most famous people of our society, the characters that they build are so flat. We know so little about them. I'm sure Warren Buffett is a much more complicated person than what we just described, but to 99% of the population, he is just that, and it doesn't matter. And so I guess that becomes a question. I mean, we'll talk about another idea that we haven't talked about is legacy, and that deserves its own topic in itself. But when Warren Buffett dies and people talk about him, those are the things that we're going to say.
What defines who we are defines how we see others.
Yeah, that makes
right?
sense.
Right? So we take our limiting factors, our blinders, our perspectives, and we define others into boxes or categories to make us feel better about ourselves and our situation.
Yeah, and to try to derive our path on what we want to become. You know, we compare. It's the comparison thing, right?
Yeah. Compare and despair.
Yeah, the compare and despair thing, which is, you know, this person is doing this and I want that. It's envy. It's grass is greener type stuff.
It boils down to one of the basic human emotions, you know, jealousy, seven deadly sins, that kind of stuff.
Well, that's an interesting thing. So let's touch on this really quick. The idea of the Facebook page as identity, right? So if you think about the Facebook page as identity, a lot of people, it's evolving, and society now has different agreed upon ways to use it. But at first I can remember people putting material things, check out my new car, my new house, whatever. And I think that that became frowned upon, right? It's not chic to say that you are, that you really value your materials anymore. We've moved past that as a society. At least I feel like our friend group and our age have, but now it's just moving to treating experiences like materials.
Yeah. Experiences or events, the event economy, the experience economy. That's what the millennials are bringing into it. And there's a million articles, financial
right,
or social, to support that. It blows my mind. Something that I try to strive for personally and to educate my family in is to be a producer and not a consumer. Clearly, I'm going to consume. I like nice things. I like eating out. I like living in a fancy cave, which is what I call my house. But at the end of the day, I want to add something to this world that was creative and fresh and came from my brain, connected to the million of other brains around me right, that helped me think of it.
So here's an interesting question then.
Well, real quick, the Facebook page.
Yeah, I'm going there.
So we have to fill the categories that Zuckerberg and his team, which are brilliant, give to us. Movies, fill them in.
Right.
Poems you like, books you like. You know, there's no add your own section to create for yourself other than just what's your news for the day.
Well, we can expand it. We can expand it and we can say that, well, you've got that for your LinkedIn and you've got that for, you can build a bigger picture, a more rounded picture. But still what it is, let's be honest, is the picture that you're building for the world. And that makes you feel better about yourself. You, at the end of the day, you reflect on those things. You look at your pages and you say, I'm happy with this. Or, no, I want this to be better.
Well, we were talking with Bart, our good friend Bart Bennett. Shout out to you, buddy. And he said this. I forget where he read it. He didn't make it up. But, you know, Facebook isn't real life. Facebook is your highlight reel of your life.
Yeah, it is.
And on the flip side, sorry for you complainers, stop. It's ridiculous. Stop complaining on Facebook. You make yourself look like an idiot.
It's awful.
Yeah. If you're going to be on there and just complaining, just please stop.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. So let's. Here's the question I wanted to ask. Is your life just a collection of things that you've consumed and things that you've produced? Whether you advertise it through Facebook by putting pictures of your trips and your food that you're eating, right? Oh, look at the things that I've consumed. Or you brag about it on LinkedIn with, look at all these cool things I'm doing and these projects that I've done. Is that it? Are you a collection of those things?
I think we are, to a degree, a collection of our experiences, events, projects, products, relationships. Really, at the end of the day, there's a soul, perhaps, yeah, that comes into it. Something that makes us completely unique, mm-hmm, from others around us. Let me ask you this. Are there things that you don't tell anyone, Lauren, me, your parents, that are just deep down, I don't want to know what they are, yeah, if you have them?
Probably, but honestly, I don't know. I can't think of them off the top of my head because I don't know if I tell myself them, goes back to that introspection thing, right? So like, besides your experiences, besides the things that you've produced, trying to actually take some time and look deep inside and ask yourself who you are. What is this journey that I'm on and everything? And let me reframe it this way. You mentioned God and a belief that, you know, we're a part of something bigger or whatever. No one knows that. And so we ultimately have this hole there. And I think you can't fully understand that. You can't fully describe the question, who are you? Because we don't know that piece. That's kind of a big piece.
And it's what I said earlier. Humans, if nothing, are purpose producers. We need to produce purposes for everything. What's the purpose? I don't know. Let's fill in the why. Where's the why? We need to know the why. And religion does a really good job
of
that.
You're right.
I think our work, the idea of the jobs and careers and occupations and fields and industries that are all 100% human created for human interests also do a good job of that.
Right.
Our families do a good job of that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we are made of stars.
We are. And so as you're talking, where my mind is going is that all of these things serve some value. The experiences that we have, no doubt, they serve value. The things that we produce are very important. The question that we ask ourselves of who we are serve value. I think the ability to recognize the fact that we don't know everything about ourselves, that there is a hole there, that we don't fully understand our purpose. I think being able to be honest with yourself about that and accepting of that, I mean, I think that's a sign that you're farther along in the journey than a lot of people ever get. Many people never get there.
And I know we're running out of time, so let's jump to some of those quotes that we wanted to share.
Okay.
Louis C.K. was lucky enough, a great, great comic. If you don't like foul language, you won't like him. But a true observer of the human experience, he got to speak either at George Carlin's funeral or a tribute to him. And he said that his career would be nothing with if it wasn't for George Carlin. And it was really all about becoming. He felt that Louis C.K. felt he had stalled in his career for 15 years. He was still making good money. He was famous. But he was doing the same shtick over and over. And Carlin said, write something, put it out to the public, and rip it up and write something else. So every year he just puts out, he's always becoming. Again, that's not his word, it's ours, but he's constantly that butterfly. And he's like, how scary was it? As scary as shit can get, because he was successful. That's it, but we're going to keep going. He was successful. He was doing it. People knew about him. And to do this, write something, then throw it away. I mean, how else could you be more becoming when you're it in your career?
Well, like,
that is beautiful.
Because you have to recognize that there's never an end. There's never a goal that we've achieved where we say, okay, I'm good now.
Right.
I'm ready for this life to end.
Maslow, right? You got physiological, psychological, sociological, all the way up to the top. Self-realization. We don't achieve a goal and just go, oh, that's it.
Nope.
We're done.
Nope, no one does. And there's something to be said about that curiosity, that search for knowledge. Maybe it's all about trying to fill that hole. And if you think about it from that perspective, the best way that I would say is to constantly be searching. And that brings me to a really great quote by Terry Crews, a really hilarious actor. He's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Former NFL player.
Yeah, he's an Old Spice.
Gospel singer.
Old Spice guy. He's got a great quote talking about always seeking and being out of your comfort zone in that search. And he says, I constantly get out of my comfort zone. Looking cool is the easiest way to mediocrity. The coolest guy in my high school ended up working at a car wash. Once you push yourself into something new, a whole new world of opportunities opens up. But you might get hurt. In fact, you probably will get hurt. But amazingly, when you heal, you're somewhere you've never been. I mean, and he's some guy that I admire for his ability to step out of his comfort zone, to go against the trends, and to become something, right? We're talking about become something that maybe he never knew that was what he wanted to become.
There was no way.
There's
no way. He had a life plan, being like, I'm going to be the fucking Old Spice
Seriously,
guy.
I know.
Doing some of those ridiculous YouTube commercials that are hilarious where he flexes his muscles and the music's playing.
But I think that's part of the key, right? So a bunch of keys we've talked about. One of them, always be searching. This is a journey. You're never going to achieve it. Another one, stay out of your comfort zone. If you're going to do a true exploration, what have the world's best explorers done? They've taken risk. They've gone out of their comfort zone.
They've left familiarity.
Yes, they've left safety.
Three things, though, about that quote that when you said it, I started to analyze it. He mentioned the idea of working. What did he mention about the guy from high school? Oh, he works
That's
at a car
right.
wash. So maybe that motherfucker's happy as, you know, a pig in shit.
Could be.
We don't know.
Could be.
But I understand the point he's making. But again, that ties back to our larger topic. Maybe that guy became and he's enjoying it. Maybe he owns that car wash. I don't know. But then he highlighted the idea of emotions and seeking. Everything we're talking about.
Yeah. Hurt.
To me, the biggest quote, and I'm paraphrasing, is what Socrates said. And I truly have always felt like I discovered the meaning of life. Maybe when I read this in Rob Anderson's Reading Foundations course in my first year of my master's program. Again, paraphrasing, but it's basically, if you don't have friends and family to share things with, you have nothing. Whether you have all the money, knowledge, information, being big data world that we live in, you lead a hollow life. If you can't share things with people, you have nothing.
It's funny that this is a recurring theme. I brought this up in the Passion episode when I stood and looked at the mountains of Colorado by myself next to my motorcycle, trying to take in all that beauty, and it was just me. There was no one beside me to share that with.
So here comes the challenge part. Again, we're trying to keep it brief. We're going to be under 20 minutes. Last week it was 30 minutes. We're going to keep shortening it because we know you're all busy. I'm going to start with acknowledge. So you need to acknowledge how you're becoming. So, question, in what ways do you become? Ray Fiennes in the movie Red Dragon, he always is talking about this becoming, right? And he's got this huge tattoo and he's a serial killer in the movie. So I hope you don't become that. But he keeps talking about becoming. What are you becoming? So in what ways do you become? Think about that.
Another one, just get out of your comfort zone. Let's force ourselves to do something that we don't do on a typical day. Let's try and be novel about it. And let's try and do something that's piques our curiosity, right? Because we've got that hole that we're trying to fill, but is also a little bit risky.
Love it. Next, grateful. Don't worry about what goals you've achieved. We have all achieved goals. Think about who helped you achieve your goals and go thank them. Even if they don't know it, say, you helped me achieve this goal. Actually, better yet, reach out to someone that doesn't know that helped you achieve a goal and thank them. And keep it brief. Allow them to accept or not accept the compliment. Don Schaefer style would never accept a compliment.
Right.
And then just move on.
And I'll do one more. Three should be plenty, but let's do one more. Let's either meditate or journal. Let's actually have some self-introspection be a part of this. Because really, in this journey of becoming, you've got to stop every once in a while and take inventory of where you've been and where you're going.
Perfect. So I'll say it a different way. The last thing Dave said is what I'd call the future. Name one way to become a better you. The you that you want to high five when you're on your deathbed. This is Dave and Zach. Peace and out. Have a great day.
That was good.